Pickaxe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
So people who are new listeners to the Yog Pod won't really know who we are, what we do. No. They wouldn't really know anything. They'll have just watched the Ice Cream video. So, do you want to give them a brief intro as to what we do?
Well, this is the Yog Pod that you're listening to, and we are a podcast primarily devoted to monster truck racing.
We love monster trucks.
This is your number one stop for.
Oh yeah!
This is your number one pit stop, you might say, for your monster truck related news. And views and current monster truck events and future events and events that have happened in the past recently.
So what's going on? What's going on in monster truck news, man?
Okay. Well, you know,
Big Al
Sam Davidson.
Yeah.
No, not Big Al. Oh. I've got some news from Big Al, but that I can wait till later.
Right.
Sam Davidson. You know, they call him the monster.
Do they call him...
the monster. Sam the monster Davidson.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what people call him. Not many people. Currently, I think two people call him that. But yeah, Sam the monster Davidson, he got injured. I mean, this is terrible news for the 2010 Monster Truck Cleveland Rally that's coming up in January.
Yeah.
Because he was headlining it. So he looks doubtful if he'll recover. He's lost both of his legs. He's broken both of his arms.
Good Lord.
And the top of his head got cut off as well in a freak accident involving a windshield.
Well, I mean, hopefully he'll be recovering. You know, hopefully he'll be recovering in time for next season, but we don't know. Who's going to take his place? No, I think I was thinking...
Who do you think?
Pantherfoot Reynolds.
Lewis, who do you think's going to take his place?
Was up there.
No. I'll give you a clue. You mentioned...
Oh, yeah, Big Al McFarlane.
Yeah. Oh, Big Al! Big Al McFarlane. He is stepping up to the plate... This could be really his time to shine at the Cleveland 2010 Monster Truck Rally that's coming up in January.
I mean,
I think that this is his big shot.
Is he still in the turbo 8,000 speed slick power glide machine?
Machine. Oh God. Should we just keep this up for 40 minutes? Oh God. I wish I actually knew something about monster trucks. Because then this would have been a lot easier to talk about.
Hello, and welcome to TTTM.
letters from the Yognord.
This one's from Sam Carruthers. Me and my girlfriend love your podcasts. While she may have a bit iffy about them at the start, she got into them after a while. Secretly, I think she harbours a bit of raging passion for one Mr. Honeydew.
Ooh.
But it's cool. Like, seriously, who could resist that ginger ball of sex machine?
I'm not sure I appreciate being called
so
that.
There you go.
I mean, that's a bit... Ginger ball of sex machine? What the fuck?
Yeah, man. Don't you like that?
Is that what that's he came good. Up with, or was that something that his girlfriend said?
I think he came up with that.
Oh.
He says he's, so they're currently in Norway, so I'm afraid that's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work out. We got feedback from, we should put out a warning at the start of the podcast about the recipe from last week's show, because people have been screwing it up and giving themselves food poisoning and stuff, and I don't want to take any responsibility for you guys like screwing up, well, you know, like not cooking the fish properly, or like putting the bowls in the oven. One guy put the bowls in the oven and they like broke the bowls. It's just awful.
I mean, to me, it's not a big deal if someone puts a bowl in the oven with a bag of fish and the bowl breaks. But if people actually get ill, they fall sick because of Hannah's recipe, they could probably sue us, Lewis. We'll sue Hannah.
I'm a bit worried, that's all, because I think we started off with something way, way, way too complicated. We should have started with like eggy bread or something, you know?
Cheese on toast.
Yeah, Yeah, cheese and toast, man. How do you do cheese and toast?
Maybe that's a bit too advanced.
Do you toast the toast first?
No. Maybe we should just start with toast by itself. Let's learn to walk before we can run here.
So that's the recipe of the week. We have a jingle, by the way, for
what?
For the new Hannah's cooking segment. Have you heard it?
No. What's this jingle?
It's made by our Captain Rhythm guy.
Oh right.
We'll play it here.
Holy shit.
And then we'll do cooking segment.
That was lovely.
You haven't heard it yet.
I'm not going to hear it,
no,
am
just,
I? Until
it
until
comment.
The podcast is actually published, I'm not going to hear it. Shall I just pretend?
I put it in
I've
my comment.
It?
Download it.
Oh, that was amazing, Captain Rhythm. Well done. Well, that's lovely. What the fuck?
So, this week, Hannah's not here, so we're just going to fill in for her. Would you like to explain the recipe this week, Simon?
Actually, people could visit www.cookingwithhannah.com for Hannah's very own cooking website for all your cooking needs.
Oh, wow, look, some guy, Daniel Killick, sent us some videos, even pictures of his Hannah's hot haddock, and it looks amazing. But it looks rather lonely, like he only made it for one.
Oh god.
You know.
Oh man.
I feel a bit sorry for him. Anyway,
so he
well
didn't
done
get lucky.
Daniel Killick, he did it. Carlos well done, Larios contacts well us again. DJ Cinema. He's the guy that
Carlos
donated like $100 Canadian.
£1 million. Yeah.
So he's basically
£1 million
of
your money.
On his own.
He's a super fan. That's what he is, Lewis.
He said, my parents were away for the weekend, so I had my GF over. After properly cooking the Thai fish in a bag and putting the bags on a baking sheet and not into the bowls and putting them in the oven. Wow, so he did it properly. We watched a movie. Success. I got some. It wasn't a home run, as I am still a virgin, but I'm almost there.
What?
Well, there we go.
It's a bit TMI. TBH. M8. LOL.
Yes, but he has a message. He has a question for Hannah, but since she's not here, I'll just pose it to you instead.
Oh, God.
I really like my girlfriend. She is cool. Even though she is nice and all, I still have feelings for another girl, too. On a few occasions, I have pictured the other girl as I was snogging this girl. Is this bad? Is it cheating? Even though I haven't done anything with the other girl, just hugs and innocent texting during class, maybe a smile here or there, nothing big, is it bad that I'm thinking about another girl while I'm being intimate with another? Should I leave this girl for the other girl? I can't ask my friends because, let's face it, in high school you just can't tell people these things. What should I do? Stay with the girl I like or go for the girl I can't stop dreaming of? Wow. I feel like Jeremy Kyle reading that out or someone.
This
you
is
know?
A tricky one. So,
well, what would you suggest?
This is a dilemma, isn't it? I would suggest, well, the thing is, he's already started working on Girl A, and he's slowly getting there. And if he just stops things with Girl A and he switches to Girl 2, then things could... I mean, if he doesn't really know Girl 2 that well, then it could take an awful lot of work to even get where he is right now with Girl Alpha.
I think what we have to say here is that, yeah, stick with the current girl.
I feel under pressure. Because... I feel like that Carlos should get his money's worth, that we should actually provide helpful information to him.
No. Look, don't do anything that would get you arrested. Don't ply them with alcohol. Don't do anything like that.
Oh!
Just... Oh, God.
I've got some good advice. Instead of donating to two people that you've never met on the internet, spend that money on the girl instead.
No. That's the last thing you want to do. The last thing you want to do...
What?
...is buy girls gifts. That's the last thing you want to do. It doesn't work. It's not like computer games. It's not like Dragon Age Origins, i.e. to get Morrigan to like you, all you have to do is give her an absolute pile of crap.
Well, it's not like maybe not a pile of crap. I mean, that'd be a bit horrible.
Chivalry isn't dead, but you should always...
It's in
like...
a coma. And we're thinking about switching off the life support.
You shouldn't buy them gifts.
But Christmas is coming up. So you can buy... A lovely pearl necklace.
You can buy a lovely pearl necklace for your girlfriend if you know that she's going to like it. If she knows about it already, and if you're actually going out. If it's someone you're not going out with, they're not going to go out with you if you buy them a pearl necklace for Christmas.
It's like repping up with the new faction. First you have to actually do the quest.
Yeah, that's what it
is. And the final thing that you do is the hand-ins.
So... Yeah, so you have to do all the quests, basically, first, which are, you know, the basic stuff, you know, like, take them out to the cinema, whatever kids do these days. They still go to the cinema? They must do. We're not that old.
Ding! Gained 500 faction. 550 if you're human.
Not text them too much. You know, that's another thing you don't want to do. You don't want to seem, like, needy. You have to reply to their texts, right? But not too much, right?
Treat them mean, keep them keen.
That's exactly what it is. And it really is so true.
That
because if they start thinking that, yeah, you know, you're too much into them, they'll start thinking that they're too good for you. And that way they'll never be interested in you. So never show your interest. Unless they're a slut, in which case you're fine. Alex Dursky says he's disappointed that he's asking us to cook a dish because I'm not a woman. Oh dear. He wants us to assign a more manly quest for Yognauts to do.
Oh, God.
That doesn't involve cooking.
But that requires a completely different segment.
What kind of manly things do you think are manly? Like what, like doing the lawn mowing or painting the shed? I mean, what counts as manly?
Painting the shed competition.
God, we don't want to like turn into like parents who are like getting Yognauts to do their chores and stuff. Jesus. What kind of manly stuff can you do that kind of is a waste of time, you know? It doesn't have any useful merit.
Building something with wood. How about, like, a spice rack? Building a spice rack. That's quite manly.
Putting up a shelf. No, I don't know.
Okay, maybe the spice rack
thing is, that's difficult as well, because then we just have Yognauts, like, cutting themselves with saws and hitting their thumbs with hammers.
We need something safer. Getting splinters. Manly but safe.
Manly but safe and not a chore. Some of them sport.
It's quite dangerous.
No, the Yognauts aren't very fit.
What? What are you trying to say?
I think all Yognauts are like me and you, Simon, i.e. they probably couldn't run around a football field. They were probably the last person running around the football field, you know, in PE.
I was really quick, I have you know.
This guy sends me a message, Sam Blackmore. He says, I have a proposal for you. Yog the video game. If you could design a relatively simple game based on the Yog Pod, what would it be? It doesn't have to relate to anything you've covered in the episodes, as long as it involves you guys and someone named Dave in some way, preferably as the main playable character.
Oh, man.
Anyone could help by drawing things, characters, backgrounds, etc. So this guy wants to make a video game, like a really terrible Mario-style, I guess it's like a platformer.
Yeah, 2D platformer.
Man, that would be incredible, wouldn't it?
I quite like the idea of... It's like Mario, but instead of coins, it's Jaffa Cakes that are floating around in the air. I quite like the idea of, instead of the princess that you've got to rescue, it's Tina Barrett or Katy Perry, one or the other.
At the end of the map, yeah.
But who's stolen her away? Who could be the Bowser, the bad guy in this?
Who's the nemesis of the pod, your pod?
Meeris, maybe. Oh.
My friend Dave, he could have done it. He's evil.
The man who tasers you on a regular basis. He just comes around to your house, knocks on the door. You open the door and you're tasered. Maybe we need a nemesis and maybe listeners could help us with that. Someone who sits in a large black leather chair and has a white cat that they stroke. Ah, Yogpod. I see you've released a new video on YouTube. He sounds a little bit like James Mason. Oh, I see. I'm stroking my cat in a slightly sinister way.
So the answer to that is yes. We definitely want to see a Yogpod video game, and anyone who wants to contribute, artwork, ideas, anything like that, send it all in, yogscast@gmail.com. So, tell me about Snorri Audio.
Well, one morning, my new housemate, James, heard a strange noise coming from my room, and he knelt down before the door with his iPhone and recorded a snippet of my snoring.
I mean, if I was James, I would have come into the room and walked right up to you so I could get a proper recording. But it shows that he's a good friend that he didn't do that.
It's a bit freaky, isn't it? It's a little bit weird.
It's not creepy if it's outside the door. It's like the police sort of, you know, seeing something inside the house and saying, you know, it's in plain sight, therefore we can use it as evidence. Rather than, you know, coming in, shoving the iPhone in your face and then you waking up suddenly and freaking out.
Oh, God, you know, that'd be horrible. Waking worse. Up and he's just stood over me, holding out his iPhone.
And you'd be like, good morning, and you're listening to the Yogpod.
Because that's how I wake up in the morning. I just say that.
Yeah.
Even if I'm just by myself, I just say that. Could have been worse. He could have actually, like... took pictures of me and uploaded them to Facebook. That would have been much, much worse.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so that's that done. Do you want to do like a little Hannah thing, mentioning about the song that she just sings?
What song was she even singing?
I fell in love with a boy. I fell in love with her most completely.
Why was she singing it?
With the world.
Why was she singing it anyway? Well,
I don't know. Did it happen at like 3 a.m. or something? What was the deal?
Yeah, she's probably drunk or high or something.
I don't know whether I should use it. It's a bit sort of embarrassing.
Well, that's a perfectly good reason to use it. The whole point was that she recorded it just for us to use.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So what is this? Is this Hannah's X Factor audition tape or something?
It's exactly that, yes.
Okay. So Hannah singing I Fell in Love with a Boy by whoever that is. Who is that by? Or is it I Fell in Love with a Girl?
I got no idea. I Kissed a Girl.
It's not that. It's definitely not that. Anyway, we don't know what the song is. But Hannah's singing it.
It's Joss Stone. It was Joss Stone.
Right, okay.
It was Joss Stone.
So yeah, let us know what you think of her chances, really.
But
fell in love with a boy. I fell in love once and almost completely. He's in love with the world. And sometimes his feelings can be so misleading. He turns and says, are you alright? Oh, I must be fine, cause my heart's too beating. Come and kiss me by the riverside. Sarah says it's cool, she don't consider it cheating. Oh, 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 oh.
Ventrilo was completely broken earlier. This is the voice software we use to typically talk to each other over the internet. And so we resorted to using Skype instead. So the audio quality, it's not going to be quite what you're used to, but I think you'll enjoy it anyway.
It'll probably be better, I think.
Actually, yeah, it probably
it might
is.
Even be better than what.
Don't get used to it, okay? Don't get used to that high quality audio. And hopefully, you can't hear me fart in the background as I'm talking.
Yeah, that's what we were most concerned about. For some reason.
I was literally farting for 2 minutes solidly when we ended that conversation. It just all came out.
You were holding it in so it didn't appear on the audio.
I nearly gassed myself.
That's lovely. Well, that's just lovely, isn't it? Thank you very much.
You're welcome, friend.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, hi. I think we'll just talk a little bit on the phone, and if I record it and something happens that's funny, then we can use it. But otherwise, we won't worry too much about it.
We've missed out on Thanksgiving. It's been and gone.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's been and gone. People have stuffed their faces and, you know, blah, 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 the usual crap.
Delicious turkey and yams. I don't know what a yam is. What is a yam?
It sounds like jam, but it's not anything to do with jam, I don't think.
Is it like a parsnip or something?
I don't know, maybe. They do have different words for vegetables. Like sauerkraut.
Sweet potato?
Sweet potato, is that... Yeah, that might be yams. Yeah, I don't know.
No, sweet potato is sometimes called a yam, but a yam isn't necessarily a sweet potato. Oh, for fuck's sake.
So it's some sort of a root vegetable that we probably don't eat just because no one really knows what it is, so therefore no one would buy it in Sainsbury's.
Yams. List of sweet potato diseases. Thank you, Wikipedia.
They have, like... What else do they have at Thanksgiving? Is it, like, cranberry? There's been an event in WoW where you have to basically stuff your face with these things. And it's, like, spice bread stuffing, cranberry chutney, pumpkin pie...
Have you ever suffered from stubby root on your yam?
No.
Terrible disease.
Sounds debilitating.
There's also stunt, and this is a good one, brown ring of roots. It's a terrible disease. To
brown
say.
Ring of roots. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Hairy roots.
Lovely.
Mottle necrosis. That sounds terrifying. Punky rot. Southern blight. Or scurf.
Are these the list of diseases that can affect sweet potatoes?
Oh my god. There's a disease there's a disease called false broom rape.
Oh
I got no idea.
How on earth? What is that?
The thing is, this is on Wikipedia, so someone might have just made that up.
Yeah.
Oh fuck, I don't think they have. It actually exists.
Like, furry baubles. That's a common illness amongst cranberries.
Oh, no. Just be careful of your false broom rape.
Yeah.
If you share a lavatory seat with someone, make sure that you just wipe it off with a bit of toilet paper before you sit down. Otherwise, you can get false broom rape and a brown ring of... What was it called? Brown ring of...
Roots.
Brown ring of roots. You don't want to get that.
You want to, at Christmas, you want to hang that on your door.
Like a garland.
Yeah.
Brown ring of roots. Lovely. You got a burning brown ring of roots.
What are the other things? Slow roasted turkey. Candied sweet potato. Candied sweet potato.
Is that like a candy apple?
I don't think... well, I...
a candy potato.
God! It's
fucked up.
It's like a potato dipped in a sugary coating and then on a stick, I guess.
I've been drinking a drink. Krabby's Green Ginger Wine. John Krabby created his old Scottish green ginger wine in the ancient port of Leith in 1801. It contains ginger, lemon and orange zest. Lemon and orange zest, I should say. Wild cowslips from Eastern Europe. Fragrant oriental cinnamon and cloves. Cowslips. Why would you put cowslips in a drink?
What is cowslip? Isn't it like
a weed? It grows near a river.
It's like cow parsley. Is it that white flower? Is that what
Flood
I'm thinking
things,
of?
Isn't it? Cowslip.
Cow parsley. Is that what I'm thinking of? Is that right?
Possibly. It's called Primula Veris. I hope this helps.
Oh, thanks, Wikipedia.
This is me being Hannah. Primula Veris, cowslip. It's a flowering plant in the genus Primula. The species is native throughout most of temperate Europe and Asia, although absent from more northerly areas, including much of northwest Scotland. It appears in northernmost Sutherland and Orkney.
So is that... is that what you think Hannah sounds like?
Yes. Yes! Jägermeister, meaning huntmaster. Is a German bitter liqueur. Have you had Jägermeister?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I think I've had it.
It's got like a deer on the bottle. It's a green bottle. It's weird. It's very weird. It contains a complex blend of 56 herbs, fruits and spices.
Good grief. Is it like Heinz beans, 57 varieties? Hang on a sec. How many herbs and spices are we talking about?
56.
Isn't that like all of them?
No.
How are they? It's just like, yeah, what he's done is he's got a spice rack and he's just put a bit of everything in. That's what he's done.
Look, this is the story of Jägermeister, okay?
Oh, goodness, okay.
Jägermeister Herb Liqueur's founder is called Herbertus. He lost his wife. And so he went off into the woods alone to go hunting.
Hold on, stop. I'm just going to stop you for a second. Herbertus?
Yeah, Herbertus. That's his name.
So who's this man? What year was this?
He is the Jägermeister. He is the huntmaster.
Right. And this was in...
It was a long time ago. Right. I mean, we're talking, 18th, 17th century or something.
Okay.
So his wife died... And so he would go hunting, for he is the huntmaster.
Okay.
Yeah. So completely on his own, he goes off into the woods. And one day he sees a magnificent stag just stood there. And between its antlers, there's floating this little cross, just floating in the air between the antlers of this stag. And Herbertus took this as being like a vision that God sent him. And his life changed completely. He gave away everything that he owned. And he started founding monasteries around Germany. And eventually he became known as the patron saint of hunters. And obviously one day... at a monastery. He's making some beer or something, and it goes off, and it's got like this really weird, complex taste to it. And he thinks, oh, it's like a horrible kind of greeny, browny colour.
It was like Alice. It was like Alexander Fleming discovering penicillin. Yeah. That's what it was like.
Yeah, and he's got like this large vat of beer, and it's gone off. And by complete coincidence, Anders, who's like, I'm not sure who he is.
So you've introduced a new character here. Yeah, very late in the story, a man named Anders.
Anders, he's like he does odd jobs around the monastery.
Right, he's like a janitor.
Yeah, he's kind of like the janitor of the monastery, and he's putting up a spice rack.
Right.
In the kitchen, and the kitchen is where the beer's made.
Okay, obviously.
And so he's putting this spice rack up, and it's right above where the vat is of this beer that's gone off.
It's an unprecedentedly large spice rack. You know, we've never seen the like before in the world.
Yeah.
This so many. It had 56 different spices.
Yeah. And instead of just putting the empty spice rack up on the wall and then nailing in the brackets and stuff, he, like, loads all the spices onto it first and then attempts to nail it.
Silly Anders.
He's trying to, like, save time by cutting corners, which is very un-German. And disaster strikes, Lewis. Disaster strikes. You're not going to believe this. But the spice rack falls off of its brackets, its faulty brackets, and these 56 herbs and spices fall into this vat.
Oh my god. Gone off
horrible beer. And that is how Jägermeister liqueur was born.
What a terrific story.
That's,
what the hell was that?
It's being born.
Oh, like, great. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
I thought a baby had got in here or something.
I mean to scare you like that.
It sounded like quite alien. It's terrifying.
The sound effect I keep on file of a baby crying.
It could also be a seagull, couldn't it?
No, that's more... But it's Jägermeister, hunt master, and he really did think that he saw... Careful wording. He really did believe that he thought that he might have seen...
a...
stag with... magnificent antlers and a cross just hovering between the antlers. It's a little bit weird, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. But,
he looked down and he's got, like, this bottle of Jaeger in his hand, and then he, like, does a double take at the stag, and then he throws the bottle away, vowing never to drink again.
Yeah, I mean, you hear about all these, like, Trappist monks and stuff living out in the middle of, you know, little monasteries and brewing their own beer. And, you know, they often win awards, don't they? You know, they win, like, the best beer in the world. It's some completely obscure beer that no one's ever heard of, and it's from some bunch of isolated monks out in Belgium somewhere, or just in the middle of bloody nowhere, you know?
Bishop's Finger. Not to be confused with Stinky Bishop, which is a cheese.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it could well be confused. Some of these beers are very odd tasting, aren't they? And they're all very, very niche. Very, very niche beers. You know, they're not very nice often. They're very, very dark, or they're very hoppy, or they're very, like... cloudy, you know, they're not what you typically buy in a pub.
I'm browsing Cheesepedia.
Is there like a Wikipedia for everything now? You know, because I heard about this wiki. There's like, you know, this enormous Star Trek Wikipedia and Star Wars wiki and everything wiki. Like,
oh, Red Windsor. Now that's a nice looking cheese.
That could also be a Trappist beer, couldn't it? Made in Her Majesty's commission.
Red Windsor is a pale cream English cheddar cheese made using pasteurized cow's milk marbled with a wine, often a Bordeaux wine, or a blend of port and brandy.
How is cheese made?
What?
I mean, how is cheese made, Simon?
Well, if you browse Cheesepedia, I'm sure it would tell you.
No, but tell me. Just tell me.
Since the dawn of time, mankind has struggled to deal with great questions of life. Why am I here? Why do the stars spin in the sky? And most important of all, the great question, what is cheese? This is a question which has puzzled scientists, theologians, and everyday man in the street for centuries. The very nature of cheese is hard to pin down, Lewis. What is cheese made of? Can it be used as a wall insulation? Is it sentient?
Where are you reading this?
Cheesepedia.
Oh.
I told you. Thorough research into the field has answered at least two of these three questions. We now know that cheese is made from a substance known as milk, the source of which remains yet a further mystery to the ears, eyes, and nose of science, which yields the delicious substance known as cheese when it is churned, fermented, and generally treated badly by a bunch of farmers in a shed.
Now,
we also know that cheese can be used as a wall insulation, albeit fairly poor insulation and terribly pungent. The final question, is cheese sentient, remains unanswerable by the modern brain of science. Experiments have shown that some cheeses are capable of simple mathematical equations, such as adding the numbers 1 and 2, or calculating the value of pi to no more than 200 places. Other cheeses have shown a much less impressive display of intelligence by responding to fairly banal stimuli, such as the daytime television program The Jeremy Kyle Show.
Brilliant.
I hope this has helped.
Thank you. I guess my question is that you can obviously leave milk to go off and it turns to cheese, right? Under certain conditions. Mm-hmm. So it has to be fairly controlled. Because if you just leave milk to go off in the fridge, it goes all green and sour and disgusting. And that's not cheese. Is it? No. how do they do it? You know? And how
it's
do
magic,
they get all the different varieties? Because obviously they must have different bacteria to have all the different varieties. And how do they control them? And how has it been controlled so long? Is it just the nature in which they're stored? Or is it the... Like, do they have to cover it? Often they cover it in wax, don't they? To, like, seal it up. And do they make it from butter or do they make it from milk?
It's made from milk.
Does it depend on the cheese?
Butter.
But isn't butter effectively just made from milk?
It's completely different. Butter and cheese is crazy. The only thing that is similar to butter and cheese is Dairylea, because that's kind of like half butter, half cheese. Sometimes you may have run out of butter, you want something to put on your toast, so all you have is Dairylea, so you put Dairylea on and then you smear your jam on.
Whoa, I've never done that. Have you ever done that? That sounds horrible.
I might have done.
Like cheesy jam.
It's like cheesecake. It is like cheesecake. You got the hard toast base, which is like the base, the biscuity base.
Yeah, but they don't really use cheese
and
cheesecake.
Instead of cheese. Yeah. Cheesecake is made with cheese.
Yeah, but not like Stilton or anything. It's like a very sort of soft Philadelphia style cheese. It's not like.
Yeah, or like Dairylea.
It's not like Gouda. You know, it's not just like a layer of Edam and then, you know, a layer of, like, you know, soft.
Did I mention any of those cheeses, Lewis? No, I didn't. I mentioned the cheese spread Dairylea, which you could make cheesecake with.
If you made a cake with Dairylea, I would vomit out of my eyeball.
Imagine.
You'd have to
unwrap
ages.
Each of those fucking triangles individually. It'd take days. Jesus.
Oh, can you imagine what that would look like? Just this pile of Dairyly triangles in your bowl. Like mixing them all up.
Lovely. And then you put the strawberry jam in, mix it up. Oh, that'd be delicious.
Fucking hell. Sounds disgusting.
That's our recipe of the week, because we're not having Hannah do one this week.
No.
I said another one. www.cookingwithhannah.com. So, this week, me and Lewis, we're going to be cooking cheesecake with Dairyly and strawberry jam. instead of a biscuit base of, like, digestive biscuits crumbled up, we're using old toast. The crumbs of old toast.
Old toast! You make it sound like some sort of wizard, you know. Old toast.
Old toast's peculiar. So, if you don't have any toast, what you should do is toast some bread, and then you have toast.
And then you can crumble it up, I guess, into...
What you could do is, if you have a toaster that you use fairly frequently, that you've never cleaned out, just get a bowl, tip the toaster upside down over the bowl.
Oh, no.
And then you'll have, like, lots of lovely, delicious toast crumbs to use as your cheesecake base.
Okay, so what do we get? We get a nice cheesecake cooking dish. We pop in a bit of butter to start with and smear that around so it doesn't stick. And then the toast crumbs go in.
Toast crumbs, and then you pat them down to make a firm base.
Okay.
Then you add a layer of Dairyly triangles. This is so fucked up. A layer of Dairyly triangles. And then on top of the Dairyly triangles, you have a lovely thin... No, actually, make quite a generous thick layer of strawberry or raspberry jam.
Raspberry.
No other kinds. It has to be strawberry or raspberry for this recipe. Oh, I wonder if anyone's going to make this. This would be amazing.
Oh, dear. No, I don't think you can. I don't think you can. It's just, that's not how cheesecake is made, is it? Is it really made using cheese?
Yes, of course it is.
I thought that was just a word that was just used to describe...
Like carrot cake. It's made with carrot. Cheesecake is made with cheese.
I don't believe you, man. I just don't believe you.
Look up a recipe for cheesecake. And it'll say, you know, use 14 Dairyly triangles. Oh, God. I really want people to make this cheesecake. My delicious recipe for cheesecake.
That's fine. It's fine, isn't it? It's all pasteurized. It's all nice stuff. I'm not entirely sure about the toaster crumbs bit. Maybe people could just, you know, grind up some bourbons or something, or put a layer of, like, custard creams in or something.
No. You have to use toast. It has to be toast, Dairyly, and jam. That's the holy trilogy, trinity even, of Simon's Cheesecake Surprise. That's the name.
What's the surprise?
Yeah. The surprise is it's not really cheesecake, is it? It's just, like, toast with Dairyly and jam.
The surprise is it tastes great. How about that?
It does. It's amazing.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing those. Seeing the pictures of that coming in.
Email your pictures of Simon's Cheesecake Surprise to yogscast@gmail.com/...
How do you spell that?
ML. I don't know. How do you spell that?
I don't know. P... What kind of... I mean, what kind of cheese is your favourite cheese, man?
I don't even know, really.
I mean, if you're in Sainsbury's, you pick up your butter. Kraft
singles.
Oh, no. Those horrible,
in America,
bright orange...
In America, they call that American cheese.
Do they?
That kind of cheese.
So it's just like squeezed into a flat, disgusting slice, and you just pop it on your burger. Oh, dear. Oh. It's awful. I mean, no, if you're at the cheese like section of Sainsbury's, what do you tend to...
Hello, my man, I say to the man behind the counter. He says, oh, Simon, you've returned. Oh, what cheese can I help you with today? I'm like, oh, let me think. Oh, and I'm browsing this amazing selection of cheese that's on offer.
My mouth is watering.
And I say, can I have a mature Irish cheddar, please? And he says, oh, excellent choice, Simon. Oh, excellent. And he cuts off a bit of it. And I say, no, no, can I have a little bit more than that, please? And he says, oh, certainly, Simon. He cuts another bit off. And I say, no, no, can I have a little bit more? And he says, oh, certainly. And then he gets a cheese wheel and he cuts a little bit more. And then I say, actually, just forget it. He can't do it right. Fuck off.
What do you mean? That's a very strange desire of yours. Like,
it happens to me sometimes. I just turn in an instant.
It's such an odd fantasy. You just end getting furious with him and just saying, forget it. And let's just end the podcast now. So, thanks for listening to this week's YogPod. Tune in next week for more rubbish.
Is it really going to be a week for the, you know, when the next one's out? I mean, 2 weeks is probably more reasonable.
Send your donations and mail to yogscast@gmail.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye. But...